We are so grateful to be here on this very special day. And as pastors, sometimes this is one of the most difficult Sundays. You'd think it'd be one of the easiest Sundays, but many times we get complaints that every time I show up to church, you're always preaching the same thing. It's either Jesus is born or the tomb was empty. Now, can you move on and do something else? And so today we're going to say, okay, but that's exactly what it is about today, is the tomb was empty. And so we come today to celebrate that because of the resurrection of our Lord, but I've also heard that. So we're going to do things just a little bit different today, maybe than maybe some others that you might have heard before. So it's important that we understand that on last Sunday, we had Palm Sunday, which is also called the Triumphal Entry. On Thursday, it was Maundy Thursday, comes from the Latin meaning the mandate to do this in remembrance of me, which is the sacrament of Holy Communion, and we shared that together. On Good Friday was his death, the time he spent on the cross and the suffering that he did for us. Saturday was silent. And then we come to Sunday, and today we're going to talk about it as those who were finding out the news and how different ones may have responded to the news on the law all along. And what I want you to hear today is that all of history, it's not just today, it's not just our church, it's not just the Christian church, all of the world's entire history. Now, when I say history, don't fall asleep. Some of you are like, yeah, I've been to high school before. History, you know. No, but think about it this way. History, all of history hinges on Jesus Christ. Because everything before him was known as BC, which is what? Before Christ. Everything after Christ is AD, which means, some of you said after death. No, it means adominum bonum. It's Latin for in the year of our Lord. But the whole point is that it all hinges on one person, the life of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning because we're going to be talking about doubts and struggles. We're talking about faith and what you really know and what you just kind of believe because of the facts that you've been presented with. How many of you believe George Washington lived? Okay. How many of you were there? Did you see the wooden dentures? What was that like? Did he use a toothpick? I don't know. But and you get the point is that none of us were really there. But we have enough information surrounding George Washington to say, I believe George Washington lived, even though I never met the man personally. Abraham Lincoln. I believe Abraham Lincoln lived, and I think he did some incredible things, even though I never met the man. And yet when it comes to Jesus Christ, so many people say, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like we have enough information. You know what? That's what agnostic means. It means to somebody that can't make up their mind. They're wishy-washy. He may have, may not. I don't know. I can't choose. We don't have enough information. And yet our scripture today tells us we have all the information we ever need. What you need to hear and understand is we have more on the person of Jesus, the Christ, than any other person that ever lived. If you believe in George Washington, Adams, and Hamilton, and Lincoln, and all those people that you've never met before, then why in the world is it so hard to put your faith and your trust in Jesus? Because we have more on Jesus than anybody else who ever lived in all of history by thousands. And in fact, all of history is accounted for in terms of the life of Jesus the Christ. I do like the story of the atheist who says to the preacher, he says, preacher, do you really believe all the things that you read in the Bible? And the preacher said, well, yes, I do. How about that? And I want to tell you a little bit of confession here, because we're going to talk about doubts today. And I want to talk about that it's okay if you have doubts. You're not the first person who's ever had doubts and struggle. I've had doubts in my life, you know, and kind of like the whole thing about two little animals coming into the ark or the whole world covered. Like, I don't know, man, that sounds kind of weird. And the atheist came to the preacher and he said, and what about this Jonah in the belly of the whale? You really believed that somebody could live 3 days in the belly of a whale and live to tell somebody about it? And the preacher said, well, yeah. He said, honestly, I've kind of struggled with that myself. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him about it. And the atheist says, what if he's not in heaven? And the preacher said, then you ask him. You see, everybody has faith. The question is, what do you have faith in? What do you believe? We have more on Jesus, the Christ, than anyone else who has ever lived. And in fact, our scripture today is going to tell us we have everything that we need to know enough to make the decision. I like the story of Mark Lowry. How many of you know the story of Mark Lowry or know Mark Lowry? And he's a comedian, he's a singer, he wrote Mary, Did You Know? He sung for years with the Gaithers, and he's got ADDHD. I mean, he's just all over the map, all over the place. And he was telling the story about coming to sing with the Gaithers full time. And Bill had asked him to come to live in Nashville so they could be closer and they could be more convenient for them to get together. And so Mark eventually moved to Nashville. He got himself a one-bedroom or a one-story home because he wanted a one-story home. He didn't want to deal with stairs, didn't want to do all that. Had a back porch, so he got him a gas grill. And then what do when you have a new home? You open up your home and you invite friends to come over. And so he invited friends to come over, and the friends actually brought friends to help with this welcoming and warming, this housewarming. And so they had a great meal. Mark had cooked some steak, so they were sharing. And then they sat down in the living room and just began to have a nice and easy conversation. What's the two things, though, when you get together with new people is you never talk about? One is religion, and the other is politics. He failed on both accounts. All right? In fact, he says, you know, I've never really understood a lot about politics, but it's never stopped me from having an opinion. A lot of you understand that one. Yeah. You know, don't know a lot, but I've always got a strong opinion about it. And so it came around to an upcoming election and what they were going to be voting for. And Mark just popped right out with it. It's his home. Why wouldn't he feel comfortable? He said, you know, I don't understand a lot about it, but because I'm a Christian, I'm going to vote this way. And one of the guests he did not know piped up and said, well, I am not a Christian. And because I'm not a Christian, I'm going to vote this way. His eyes got really big, and he began to rub his hands together, and he said, ooh, an atheist. I've never actually had one in my home before. Said he ran around and locked all the doors, and he said, we're going to be here for a while. Because he couldn't wrap his mind around. In fact, one of the things he said is, I've always wanted to be an atheist. I never had that much faith. Isn't that sound funny? But yeah, even atheists have faith. They have faith that it's not true. We have faith that it is true. And he said, how can you look at the cosmos? How can you look at everything? How can you look at all of creation? How can you look at the stars and the planet and the perfect way they all work together? And then in our own Milky Way, our own galaxy, and we have our own solar system, and of these, the planets that we know of, then there's only one that has fit for life. And then look at the life, look at the world, look at the order. He said, if there is order, then there's an order maker. If there's a creation, then there has to be a creator. And our job while we're here on earth is to get to know that creator. He said, look at everything. Look at your thumb. Everybody look at your thumb. That is an original. There is nobody else in the world like you. And Mark would tell you, you are somebody special. I'm going to love the conversation when you go, well, what'd y'all talk about in church? Well, we talked about thumbprints, and I'm somebody special, all right? And so he says, I'd love to be an atheist, but I've never had that much faith. And he says, when you want to believe that we came from nothing, everything is an accident, all this order. He used the illustration of the watch. He said, you know, if I took off my best watch and I put it into a bag and I hit it with a hammer 37 times and then I just shook it for a couple of billion years, do you think another watch would come out? Like, no, it'd still be a mess. He said, order does not come from chaos unless there's an order maker. So we begin to put it all together and all these facts and all these figures and begin to say, you know what? I think there's enough information here that we can believe. And so it's okay to question. It's okay to doubt. And if you are one who is struggling, maybe you're one who's on the bubble, maybe you got drugged by another family member to come here today, God bless you, and I'm sorry. But I'm not. I'm so glad. I believe everybody's got an appointment with God, and I believe God orchestrated and brought us all here today because I believe God is still working in the world, as we're going to talk about for the next few weeks. He's still here. He's still alive. He's still working in the world. He cares about every one of us, and he's still calling out to us. In Wesleyan terms, we call it prevenient grace, that he is always overwhelming us with his love and his knowledge about him and calling us and wooing us to come to be with him. In fact, in Jesus, when he began to explain it to his disciples, if you have doubts, you don't have to worry about it too much. You're not the first one that has doubts. In fact, he tried to explain it to the disciples. He tried explaining them about the suffering and the death and the resurrection, but they just didn't get it. In fact, how many of you have ever heard the phrase, I'll be back? Yeah, it wasn't Arnold Schwarzenegger that said it first, it was Jesus. He told his disciples, and yet because they were human, that's why I love the scripture. They don't try to make it more fantastic, but even the reality was more fantastic, and the human beings that were a part of it, and how many times they fell short, and yet Jesus kept loving them anyway. That gives me hope. That if even those guys who were with them didn't get it, it's okay for those of us who have struggled with it along the way. Let's take a look in our passage today. John chapter 20, if you want to start turning there. If you get into the New Testament, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And I pray that you're reading ahead. And as we're hearing about this one, okay, so the resurrection has already happened, okay? If you came to hear the traditional message, you know, he died, he was silent, and then on the first day he came back, he rose from the dead, and that's why we're here, and that's why we celebrate. But for those of you who wanted to hear something a little bit different today, for those of you who are struggling, those of you who think you're agnostic, maybe even those of you who are atheists saying, why do all these crazy people wear bonnets and hats and frilly colors? Why do they show up? What's this thing all about? I don't get it. I don't understand. I pray that you would open your heart and open your mind and listen to this message today, because maybe, just maybe, this is God's way of reaching out to you so that you might hear him. In fact, you're going to hear it in the scripture. These things are written that you might believe and have everlasting life in his name. Let's take a look at John chapter 20, verses 24 through 31. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. And so the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and I put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, we have some fill-in-the-blanks. We have colored pictures. You can do whatever you want to that helps you to get through this time and to understand it in a deep and a new way. But if you'd like to fill out the blanks, let's take it number one. Number one is I want you to walk away with that it's okay to struggle. It's okay to have doubts. It's okay. If you've struggled with the faith, if you have doubts, then you're not the first one. Now remember, these are the people who were with Jesus. These are the people that saw him do miraculous things and miraculous kinds of healing, even calling Lazarus back from the tomb. That's pretty hard to do. It's kind of hard to fake it. And in fact, when Jesus was away, the family had sent word to Jesus to come because Lazarus was ill and he was dying. But they knew that if Jesus would come, that he could heal Lazarus, and he wouldn't die. And Jesus intentionally waited because he knew that God had something bigger in mind. And even after Lazarus died and he was in the tomb for 3 days, then Jesus came with his disciples. Now, what I want you to hear is that Thomas gets a bad rap. Doubting is not his first name. Okay? It's what's been attached to it because of his struggle with seeing Jesus. But I want you to hear this, is that when he was with Jesus and they were headed over to Bethany where Lazarus had died, then everybody else said, you know what? Let's don't get anywhere near Jerusalem because the bad guys are looking for you and they're going to kill you and we don't want that to happen. And Thomas said, you know what? If Jesus goes, I go with him, even if I have to go to the death. He was willing. He was a believer and willing to go to the death with Jesus. So Jesus goes to the tomb. He goes to the family. They're weeping. One of my favorite passages says he wept. When he saw the family, he had compassion upon them, and he wept with them. He enters into our grief, even knowing what he was going to do. And then he turned to the tomb, and he says, Lazarus, come forth. And out of the tomb, dripping with all these cloths from his funeral, and he's like, what? And everybody's like, what? What? It's like, no way. Way? Yeah. Jesus had that power, all right? So when even those people who had been with him, who had seen all these miracles, when all those people said, what? Yeah, you know, when they saw all of these things, they still couldn't wrap their mind around it. The women doubted. When they went to the tomb, they went to wrap Jesus. They didn't have time because of the Passover. They're not allowed to touch the dead bodies. And so they just placed him in the tomb as they had to. And they came back on the first day of the week. What's the first day of the week? Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. That's right. Gold star for the lady up front here. It's Sunday because the Sabbath, the Shabbat, ended on Saturday. Sunday is the first day of the week. The Jews worshiped on Saturday. The Christians worship on Sunday because that's a reminder of Easter. The tomb was empty, the resurrection. And so the women went to the tomb to dress the body for his burial in the tomb. And they get there, and he's gone. In fact, he appears to some of them, and they say, they can't wrap their minds around it. They don't know it's him. They think he's the gardener. Oh, sir, if you can tell us where you've laid his body. Like as if he took it and moved it somewhere. They struggled with it. Peter and John, when they'd gotten word, they ran to the tomb. John got there first, and then the scripture says that when Peter got there, he saw that it was empty and believed. It's okay to have doubts. In fact, Tim Keller says this, faith without doubts is like the human body without antibodies. It can never build enough strength to have an attack. So you hear that? When to withstand an attack. If you don't have enough antibodies, if you haven't asked the difficult questions, then when somebody comes along who's an atheist, an agnostic, when a tragedy happens in your family, sadly enough, people have not strong enough faith that they don't know what to do with it, and they turn away from the very one who gives them peace and life everlasting. Because they never had a faith that was tried and true, that had been through the difficult times. In fact, I was listening some time ago to some scientists, and they were talking to these young mothers, and they were talking about how we all use the hand sanitizers everywhere we go, and that because of all this, we're not able to build up the proper antibodies. And so the mother said, well, what do we do? And the scientist said, let them play in the dirt. Let them get used to it. Because you begin to build up the antibodies to all the things that want to attack us, and it actually makes us stronger. That's another thing you can go home and say, I learned this in church today. Go home and eat a cup full of dirt. But do you get the point? Is that we as human bodies are actually stronger when we learn to build up the antibodies. Our faith gets actually stronger when we don't avoid, but when we ask the hard questions of the faith. The early believers had struggles, and they had to go and see. And so I want you to hear this from Sister Mary Jean Feeney. Doubt is a part of the human condition. Hope bridges the gap between doubt and faith. J.D. Greer says, faith is not the absence of doubt, but a continual following of Jesus Christ despite the doubt. How many of you have heard of Mother Teresa? Six. Wow. This goes a lot faster if you raise your hand, people. Even though I'm not a Roman Catholic, Mother Teresa is one of my spiritual heroes because I believe that is someone who lived her faith out loud. And many in the world were shocked to find out that she struggled with her faith. What? It came out in her book just a couple of years ago. Said when she was a young girl, she heard the voice of God, called her to be a nun. And then while she was in a monastery in Ireland, she got the calling again to go down into India to start a mission to serve the poorest of the poor. But she reports that when she got down to India was about the last time she heard the voice of God. She said there was only one respite in 1959 for about a week that she heard from God. 50 years of darkness, 50 years of silence, 50 years of dedicating her life to serve God by serving the widow, the poor, the orphan, the lowest of the low, and not hearing from God. It kind of reminds me of the husband and wife, and she's mad at him because he hasn't said, I love you in some time. And he's the old cowboy type that says, hey, I told you when I married you, and if it ever changes, I'll let you know. It's almost like God said, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go start a mission, and you're supposed to just go do it. There's enough said. But how many of you would have had the strength? And in fact, this is what she writes. She says that when she tried to pray, the silence was so deafening that her prayers almost rained back upon her like knives to her soul. She wrote this to her spiritual director. And many of you are like, what? Mother Teresa. But what I want you to hear is for someone who struggles, maybe you're in that, as St. John of the Cross called it, that dark night of the soul. Maybe you feel like your prayers are going to emptiness. Maybe you feel like nothing is there. No one is there. No one cares. Then you are in the same company as Mother Teresa. And you know what it says here? It says that faith is not the absence of doubt, but a continual following of Jesus even in the midst of doubt. You know how Mother Teresa did it? She kept putting one foot in front of the other every day, calling out, praying, and doing what God told her to do. It's okay to have doubts. It's number two, it's okay to ask for evidence. That Peter and John, they raced to the tomb. Why did they race to the tomb? Because they didn't believe. Otherwise, they just said, oh, he said go to Bethany, okay. Or he said go here, go there, go to the upper room. You know, no, they ran to the tomb because they wanted evidence. Thomas, who was not with them when Jesus appeared to him, he said, you know what, guys? Man, I want to believe with all my heart. But unless, and he was one of the original skeptics, and some of you are skeptics, and you're saying, I kind of hear you, preacher. My wife has been after me. My mother's been after me. My grandmother's, I kind of hear you, but there's something that's holding me back. There's something there. I just don't want to be taken in. I don't want to be gullible. I just find it too hard to believe. Then seek it out. Seek it out. John and Peter ran to the tomb. They couldn't believe it, but they wanted the evidence, and so they ran to the tomb. Doubting Thomas said, I hear you guys. I really kind of believe you in a part of my head, but I really won't embrace it. I won't believe it until I see it for myself and put my fingers into the nail holes in his hand and put it into his side where the spear went in. I just can't do it. But you know what? Jesus never chastised him for looking for evidence. That's what happens. We believe that Kairos movement is when the prevenient grace of God intersects our seeking of God. And that's when we get it and we go, ah. But Peter, James, John, they all kept putting themselves in the right place, in the right intersection. And I want you to hear this. One of our modern-day skeptics is Lee Strobel. He's also a hero of mine, even though he started as an atheist. He and his wife had gotten married. They were college graduates. They had their life going. But suddenly, one day, his wife started going to church. And he's like, what's wrong with you? You have a college degree. Don't be so gullible. Don't be so dumb. Don't be an idiot. And his wife said, all I know is I'm not happy. I'm missing something. And so I'm going to go to church and see if I can find it there. Well, this angered Lee. Some of you have seen the movie. Some of you have read the book. If you haven't, I encourage you to see both. Read the book. The book actually meant more to me than even the movie. But Lee was a newspaper reporter and a lawyer. And what he would do was report in Chicago on all the trials that were going on. And so this bright idea came to him. He said, you know what? I'm going to put this to rest for once and for all, for my wife's sake, for my sake, and for the rest of the world's sake. This whole Jesus myth, we're just going to do away with it. And so he began writing. He began investigating. He began traveling all over the world. And he talked to Christians, and he talked to non-Christians. He talked to atheists. He talked to professors. He talked to pastors. He talked to theologians, and he asked all the hard questions he could possibly come up. What about this? What about this? What about this? And then after years of study and research, he began to pile it all together, and he began to sift it together, and he began to put Jesus on trial. One day he walks into the kitchen with his wife and said, it's finished. And she said, and what do you think? He said, when I put all the evidence together, there was only one thing I could do, fall down on my knees and accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It didn't mean that he didn't have doubts. Remember, faith is not the absence of doubt, but it's the bridge that gets us over to hope. But we have enough evidence around us. It's okay to ask for evidence. Number three, it's okay to ask for faith. Faith in Jesus is a gift. It's not something you can earn. It's not something that you're born with. It is a gift of God. Listen to this from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's a gift of God. And so if you want something from God, what do you have to do? You have to go to Him, and you have to call out to Him, and you have to ask, and you bring your whole heart, and you open your heart to Him and say, and many times people have been saved by doing this. They come to a place in their life where they are totally out of control, and they reach out to the one person that they can only think of that might be able to make sense out of this and say, God, if you are real, come into my life. And many people have been saved because that's the door opening that God was looking for. It's for them to open their heart. And listen what it says here in Luke chapter 11, verse 9 and 10. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone. Everyone say everyone. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. You know, it is a gift. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit. That's when we can come together. I don't remember a time when I wasn't a Christian. I was a cradle Christian. I had four generations all in the same church. I grew up as a Christian. But when I began to get a teenager, you know, teenagers know everything. And it's like you begin to ask certain questions along the way. But here's what settled it for me. When I put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ. All that other stuff. I worried about all the little animals coming into the ark. Is there a boat big enough to hold all the little animals coming two by two? And I can't get my dog to obey. How can I get all the little animals to come from all over the world and come into the ark? You know, I don't know about that. The whole thing about the 3 days and the belly of fish, you know what they say about fish and friends after 3 days? They all begin to stink. I don't know, you know? But Jesus believed it. And so Jesus made sense. In fact, all those questions I thought were so important to me when I gave my heart fully to Jesus didn't matter anymore. It's a spiritual gift. So number four, and when you believe, when you open up your heart, when you ask, when you seek, when you knock, and the scripture says you will find. If you said, well, I've been knocking, keep knocking. God's delayed somewhere else. He's answering somebody else's prayer. He'll get to you. But keep putting yourself in the right place, and He will answer. When you open the door, He will come in, be with you. And then number four, when you believe, celebrate. That's why today is the most special day of the whole year. It's because it's the day that we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and for everything that it means to us. The women embraced Jesus. Peter and John, they celebrated with the other disciples. And then I love the story of the two disciples who were walking to Emmaus. They were walking away from Jerusalem. It's like, good grief, man. Jesus has just come back from the dead. How can you go home? But they were going home, and they were still puzzling over it. And they were still struggling and saying, you know, and suddenly the stranger came to them and was walking with them. And he said, what's going on? And they're like, what's going on? Where have you been? Under a rock? This whole thing about Jesus coming back. And so Jesus begins to explain everything that's happened and why it's happening. And they're like, who is this mysterious stranger? And why does he seem to know so much about it? And when they finally get back to their home, they're getting ready to eat a meal. And Jesus says, do you mind if I say the prayer? And when he begins to pray, their spiritual eyes were open. And they realized, it's Jesus. It's true. It's real. Now, here's the thing. Now, it was late at night. They'd had a very busy day. They had just walked home. They'd gotten into their house. How many of you want to go back out after you got your jammies on, right? You're like, no, I'm. You know what? Let's just sleep it off. Let's have a good breakfast in the morning so we can take the journey back. No, you know what they did? Is they turned around immediately, and they ran back, and they were like, woohoo! Woohoo! Hey, everybody, it's true. It's true. Jesus has risen from the dead. We have seen him with our own eyes. It's incredible. It's a miracle. But it also means that everything that he said is true. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. And all who believe in him will never perish but have everlasting life. That's the joy that we should have inside of each and every one of us. And I pray that you would just feel a little bit of what I have inside of me, that you would be able to celebrate. And as we go from this place, and we are getting ready to go from this place, and we go and we tell other people and we celebrate, that's a hope. It's not true. It's a hope that we're about done. But why? Thank you. Yeah. But don't interrupt me. It takes longer time, you know. But my dear friends, for those of you who are already believers, God bless you, and I'm glad you've come here today. But I want to reach. You ever feel God move? God's moving. And I believe that there's somebody that came here today that struggles. Struggles, it's too incredible. It's too much. It's a fairy tale. It's a fable. But I believe God brought every one of us today. For those who are already on the team, it's the best day of the year. But I want to reach out to those of you who are still struggling, who are still on that bubble, who are still trying to figure it out. Do you know what the scripture says? It says, these things were written. We have a base. We have a foundation. We have knowledge. We have history. We have more evidence on Jesus than any other person who ever lived. He came to be with us. Emmanuel, God with us. God cares. He lived. He lived a sinless life. He showed himself by declaring and doing all kinds of miracles. We have enough evidence. Jesus told Thomas, said, you believe because you have seen, but even more blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. And so, my friends, I want you to hear that if you're struggling, it's okay. If you have doubts, it's okay. If it seems to be too much, it's okay. But ask, seek, knock, open the door, and I believe Christ will come in. I believe the Holy Spirit will give you the faith that gets you over the evidence into the hope, the belief, and the trust as Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen.